This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
We are with one of America's most important retailers, the chairman and CEO of Macy's, Jeff Gennette. If you read my book, if you're smart enough to have read my book, Always in Fashion, the first three words in that book were only in America. Because tonight's story is an American story. It's about how great our country is, and we should never forget that this country provides us with an infrastructure. It provides education. It provides know-how. It provides water. It provides trucking. It provides all those things we need to be successful in our life. But what it really does is provides a platform for each and every one of us out there to have a chance at success. Many of the companies you're familiar with are names that were made up brands that we're all excited about today, but they were someone's idea. When you think about Nike or Polo or The Gap, or what about the brand names that come from the back and the hard work of an individual, like Mellon, Rockefeller. These are brands that have existed and have been built by entrepreneurs in this country. And believe it or not, the largest users of their own names in our institutions are retailers. Because retailers, we're inviting you into their homes. Come, spend some time with me. Very, very often, retailers refer to their customers as guests. In this case, there are retailers that were family names that you're all familiar with. Bloomingdale's was a family, the Nordstrom family, the Dillard's family, the Belk family. Did you know that there was a Macy's? Roland Hussey Macy, R.H. Macy. This fellow was born in 1822. He was a humble son of a humble retail operator who had a little store in a neighborhood in Nantucket. Started working for his dad at 15 years old. I don't know how he got away with that then, but anyway, he did. But he was an adventurer. He no longer wanted to be in the business, and he joined a whaling ship. And for 4 years, he was at sea, doing whatever he did. I looked it up. The only thing I found out was he got a tattoo when he was on the boat. But we'll talk about that later. Came back and decided to go into the family business and started his own millinery shop. He opened a store that would sell needles and threads. He failed. He opened another store that expanded his interest in dry goods. And he failed. Tried to join his brother's company, stayed a short while. He didn't do very well. Went to California to follow the gold rush. He didn't find any gold. He failed again. But this is why this is a story about America. R.H. Macy, Roland Hussey Macy, never gave up. If you allow me a minute, I want to read you a quote. Winston Churchill said, "Success is failing over, over, and over again and never losing enthusiasm." My favorite quote on the subject comes from General George Patton. It's not how far you fall, it's how high you bounce back. And R.H. Macy never gave up. He opened another retail store, this time on 14th Street and 6th Avenue in New York City, moved away from the family and started out on his own. In his first week of business, he did $11,000. This is back in the 1830s, 40s, 50s. Don't hold me to the date. And all of a sudden, he realized that there was a business to be done. That year, he did $85,000 worth of business, which was huge at that time, and in a relatively short time, bought 11 buildings to make what we know as Macy's. Macy's was known for some very, very strong innovations, the first of which was illuminated windows. They put the first Santa Claus in a store. But probably what he was known best for was his view of the future and identifying a woman to be one of the most senior executives at retail in that day and age. I have to look down at her name because I don't remember. Do you?
Margaret Getchell.
Let me tell you what Margaret was known for. She said, "Be everywhere, do everything, but astonish the customer." And for the last 175 years, Macy's has been astonishing us with products, with brands, with people, with events, the Thanksgiving Day Parade. the July 4th fireworks over New York's harbors. But I've been lucky because I've been established with this industry for a very long time. But you know what has astonished me? The hard work, the challenges, and the difficulty working with those executives from Macy's, because they are smart and they know what they need and they know what they want. The Macy's executives have always astonished me. And I am particularly proud tonight to introduce you to their chairman, CEO, Jeff Gennette, who always astonishes me from the first day I met him to today. With that, I welcome Jeff Gennette. Thank you to Always in Fashion.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So, Jeff, did you wake up one day and decide you wanted to be a retailer? What was your first job?
My first job was, I grew up in California. So I grew up in a little suburb of San Diego called El Cajon, which is hilly.
And you left there? What were you thinking?
Yeah, you're right.
San Diego.
And so my first job was selling mopeds to all the denizens of El Cajon. And I loved it. You know, it was commission, and it was like my first job at age 16, and I never looked back.
And how did you get into Macy's? I mean, you spent most of your career with the Macy's organization. If I understand that correctly, you started in a training program.
I did. So I was went to school in the Bay Area and stayed in California. At that time, I was an English major. So what do you do with an English major? And I had a knack for management, so really enjoyed that. I was managing the faculty club of the university. And so at the time at my school, all the different companies that came according, and you know, you would expend points in order to get an interview. So like IBM cost you 400 points, you had 1500 points that you would be able to use. The Macy's interview was free. And it was kind of the practice interview. And I was thinking, okay, I'll try this out. And it actually took. And so I really enjoyed who I talked to, and that's how it all started.
And your first job at Macy's?
So my first job was, I am responsible for the Field Crest towel color selection of 1983. So that was my first job. But my first job, that was like 2 weeks, but I was as a sales manager at the Macy's Stanford store on the university campus. So I did that for about a year and a half.
And when you started at Macy's, did you sense you would be able to grow with the organization?
Yeah. I came into retail and I thought I was going to stay about a year and a half. And I thought I was going to get some quick management experience. I'd had 30 people as a sales manager that were under my belt. And I thought I would get in and get out, and I thought I would go to business school. That was really kind of the plan. And it turned out to be very different from that. I tell you that I had some seminal moments when I was in the Macy's Stanford store that completely changed my career life. And that's why I'm here today, actually.
All these years later.
Let me tell you about the two instances. You know, for me, I don't know, Mark, on you, and I'd love to hear your story about how you caught the retail bug. But for me, it was twofold. The first one was that what you did in retail, you would immediately get a response from the customer. And it was that instant feedback that was like, it was like a narcotic. And, you know, for me, it was the Kingston Trio. And so I was in the Stanford store, and I had a thing called the Tiger Shop, and it was young men's. And we had like 13 fixtures on this floor, and we had a back wall. And one day, the Kingston Trio, which was this short sleeve candy stripe woven, came in. It came in three colors. And I started to notice that by the end of the day, like 40% of the supply in the back wall was gone. You know, the customer, they found the far reach of that area and they bought this content. So I brought it up. I called the buyer. It was Debbie Taylor at the time. And I said, this is selling like hotcakes. Send me more. And that started this one fixture that ended up being, it was at that time, Macy's California had like 25 stores in the chain. We ended up being 50% of the entire wovens business in Tiger Shop based on that one fixture at Macy's Stanford.
Amazing.
And that was, I just got that in my blood. And the second instance was I had a sales colleague who worked for me, a woman named Betty Owen, and she was like this salty fisherman's wife out of Manchester, England. And she was in her mid-60s, and she saw me work. And she basically said, you're doing it all wrong, and just kicked me up one side to the next and showed me what it was like to be a manager. And based on her mentorship, one of the greatest mentors I ever had, that took about how to manage a group of 30 people, coupled with what I learned about what you could do with product and placement and value, that has kept me in this business for as many years as I've been in it.
You know why I got the bug? For two reasons. One, it's you have to reinvent yourself every quarter. Whatever you were before was great, but now you got to do it again. And I can't think of many industries. I mean, the automobile industry, yes, they're selling fashion and technology, but they put out a model that lasts for 10 years. We've got to reinvent ourselves every single quarter, which I find incredibly challenging, exciting. And at the same time, our industry has every component that any industry has, and then some. Mm-hmm. Creating product, figuring out how to sell it to the consumer, understanding how to manage consumers, make them happy, import or manufacture all over the world. It's a very exciting dynamic. Do you believe right now that the training program in Macy's will do the same thing for newcomers as it did for you?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of our, it's our kind of one of our enduring strengths is the training program. And you think about how many people in the industry have been through some level of the Macy's training program or Bambergers or Marshall Field, and many of the retail leaders have been through some sort of retail training program. So that's something that we wear as a badge of honor, and it's something that we're very focused on, and we're looking always for new ways to make it even better. So we have a big advantage of being in New York City, where you're here at the heart of fashion, and you've got all of our wholesale partners here. You've got a lot of pop culture kind of emanates out of New York City. So to be here and to be in that hub and to take full advantage of it through a training program only makes sense.
And if I am a salesman or saleswoman on the floor in Macy's on 34th Street, can I become president?
I think you can. You know, I think that this is an industry that is constantly, you said it, I mean, you talk about on a quarterly basis, I'd argue that on a daily basis, we're constantly renewing for a customer who is voracious for things new and always looking at the competition. And so you just got to get better or you're going to die. And so I think that anybody that has the talent, those people are always of a high premium. And I always found through my career and all the good people that I watch as my peers, they got ahead. Because if they were ready and willing to take care of a customer, there was opportunities. So you can go from being a sales associate all the way up to a top executive rank in our business. I think that still stands today.
There is no formula. You could be a merchant or a product developer.
Yeah.
You could be a seller.
Right.
You could be anything and still get to the top. Do you
agree with
that?
I think it's getting even more true. You know, I think in the past, in order to get to the top ranks of a retail company, you generally had to go through merchandising. That's not true anymore. I think you can go through analytics. You can go through product development. You can go through marketing. I think there's many paths to get to the top in our business today.
I'm glad we just covered careers. I'm not sure we're done with it, but a lot of our show is about career advice to people. And I've taken the position that you're responsible for your own career. Not your friend, not your boss, not the company. You're responsible. That follows up with a concept also that I refer to is packaging yourself is as important as the products you package.
Mm.
Dress code. Does Macy's have one?
You know, it's interesting. It's flexible. So it used to be that you always used to be, I mean, look at me today. So this is what I would generally wear. So I would wear a pair of jeans. I'd have on, you know, dress shoes, some sort of sport coat, generally not a tie. You go whatever you're dressing for your day. So when I'm dressing for the corporate, you know, life, this is what I would wear. When I'm out in stores, always suit and tie. If I'm going out with, depending on who, what the client is, or if I'm going to one of my partners, or if I'm going to Facebook versus a Google, or so I'm always dressed. And that's generally what runs the day at Macy's and how we do it.
So you don't have a uniform any longer.
Well, you know, in stores, it's interesting. We started with a uniform. Then we went away from that and just let our colleagues dress as they want it to be. And
are they supposed to be wearing your product?
It's interesting. You know, when we had a uniform, we asked them to. And now today, most of them do because they get a nice discount. So that's the advantage of being in a retailer that has many categories as we have, but it's not required.
You know, it's fascinating that you say it's optional. People have to know how to dress when they're in front of you. They have to know how to dress when they're in front of their associates. But I'll never forget, my first book was called Dress Casually for Success for Men.
Yes.
I was so excited that I got a chance to get a book published by McGraw-Hill. And I started thinking, the more people I would call, the more interviews I could do, the more places I could show up, I might sell the book and make something of myself. I'll never forget calling your predecessor at the time, Terry Lundgren.
Yes.
I said, Terry, I got great news. I just did this book on dressing casual. I'd love to come to Macy's, do a book signing. And he looked at me and said, I am not in favor of this. I have suits, shirts, and ties I have to sell. Find somewhere else to do your function, Mark.
That's interesting.
But the world has changed, huh?
Well, let me give you a postscript on that, because what you'd find is even though, you know, the Macy's or America is becoming more casual, polished casual, as you would say, is really a fine art to be able to do it and pull it off well. But I would also tell you that our suit business is better than ever. We just hit our all-time peak in suits. Guys are wearing suits like now it's suit separates. They may be open collar. They may be wearing a sport shirt versus a woven or an Oxford, but they're wearing them. and they're pulling it off. You know, guys are becoming much, much more involved with their own fashion choices.
I'm in Macy's all the time. I've said it on the air a lot of times. You don't listen to my show, but you should. But I'm in the
maybe
store.
I will now.
Yeah, I'm in the store all the time with my son, who's my co-host, Jesse. And your assortments, I'll talk men's for a second.
Okay.
Your assortments are so deep that if someone wants to go into your store to buy a sport coat or a suit, it's impossible to leave if they're there to buy.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, I want to tell you a funny story. I do a lot of shopping. I need to stay current. I'm on the radio. I'm a commentator. I'm a little bit of a philosopher. The other day, I was in one of your competitors in Roosevelt Field.
Okay.
I'll let you figure who that is.
I already did.
And I saw the 10 people standing in a department, yeah, in the men's department, and you could see they're from their headquarters.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were talking. And every time I walked by, hello, how are you? You know, they're showing that they could be nice to their customers. So at the fourth hello and how am I doing, I said, you want to know how I'm doing? I said, I'm shopping in your men's department. Everything is all over the place. You have tons of things, four pieces each. Nothing with any power behind it. I said, if you really want to know, I used to be important. I used to know this industry. I used to be in it. I was CEO of a couple of companies. I really understand the product. I'm going to tell you, as a customer, if I wanted to buy a dress shirt, they're all over the place. You have nothing in power. If I was you, I would go over to Macy's and look at their dress shirt department.
Wow. God, that's great testimony.
And they're known for men's haberdashery. I did the same thing in suits. I said, what do you think about the suit department? I said, the same thing. You have some nice stuff. But if any brand I was interested in, I can go somewhere else in the mall and find bigger assortments of it. So your store is so powerful, the way it's set up, at least from my vantage point.
Thank you.
You have such a dynamic business. All the categories, there's menswear, we were talking, and sportswear, suits, shirts, shoes, the whole gamut. Women's, career, sportswear, designer, contemporary, moderate, accessories and handbags, seasonal outerwear and swim, large sizes, petite sizes. Then there's beauty, there's fragrance, cosmetics from brands to luxury, from Estee Lauder to Dior. Then we have home, children's, the restaurants, service centers, warehouse distribution, omni-channel and e-commerce. How do you do all of that?
Well, you think about R.H. Macy, you kind of opened with him. So, you know, he's been doing that since 1868. And so, you know, when you think about a department store, you just described a department store. There's relevancy in a department store. And so what at Macy's we try and do is leverage the strengths of a department store. And having category dominance, as you described when you talked about our clothing or our dress furnishings assortments, how do you do that across the building so your customer has a home base? But once they come there for the home base, you see their opportunity is for them for you to sell a lot of categories once they're in the building or once they're on the website. So there's a huge advantage of it. And the categories you're mentioning is a fraction of what we're now offering online with all of our vendor direct, you know, categories that we're doing and what we're now doing in lease or what we're doing through market. I think the opportunities are endless because we're a big tent. Customers expect a department store to have lots of categories. So you can go through all the failed searches when they go online for things that we don't have to give you where their intent to buy would be if we did have them. So it's a huge responsibility to really be a modern department store. And we've got a team that's now trying to figure out what that means for the 21st century.
Do you have a favorite business?
You know, it's interesting. My favorite business is one that I used to run that is no longer at Macy's in a scalable way yet, which is electronics. So I was in the electronics business. I was the radio buyer and the stereo buyer for Macy's back in Macy's, California. And we got out of that because we didn't have an economic model where we could make money. And now, you know, been really hard at work over the past 10 years finding economic models that get categories like electronics back into Macy's.
I find it fascinating walking through your store, seeing the largesse of it, finding what I want to find. As I say, it's impossible not to find if you're looking.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Jeff Gannett, Chairman and CEO of Macy's. And we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk the magic of Macy's.
Always in fashion.
DKNY, from the moment it entered our world, expressed what we were about as individuals. They took the energy of New York City and made it part of our lives. And for that, we all became invested in DKNY. They weren't just about the product. They cared about the way we feel. And it's interesting that for fall, DKNY is coming back with a concept called Today I Feel. That's what they want to talk to us about. And they came out with a press release that I want to share with you. We're empowered to wear what we feel and encouraged to express every facet of ourselves in the way we dress. To never let anyone else define what we wear or how we feel, no matter how hard they may try. Radiate confidence in a printed mini dress. Feel like a badass in a leather trench and combat boots or zenning out in matching workout set. Whatever you're feeling, show it off. Today, I feel. I think DKNY once again is tapping into the pulse of America, that there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of discomfort every day as people go through their lives. And companies that are substantial and companies that care about people want to make a difference. And DKNY is one of the most exciting fashion brands ever, and it continues to be relevant both for women and for men. However, a company to care about how we feel and express themselves in this campaign is another signal how DKNY is such an important part of the lives we live. DKNY, today I feel. I spent a lifetime of my career building the Van Heusen brand, and I am so pleased that they're back with us now talking about suits. Men, we're dressing up again, and it's become cool to wear a suit. Suits can be worn on multiple occasions in multiple ways. You could wear a suit formally to go out at night or to an event. You could wear a suit to the office with or without a tie. If you look closely now, fashion trends. Suits are being worn with turtlenecks or mock necks. The choices are endless, and every one of them looks right. You can really, really look the part. I believe that packaging yourself is as important as the products you package. And wearing a suit is one of those things that make men look their best. Van Heusen invented a new idea. It's called the Cool Flex Suit. It's been engineered with stretch technology, giving you the most comfortable fit and mobility. It's wrinkle-resistant fabric. It's cool, moisture-wicking. It makes it perfect for all occasions, as we discussed just now. This new style of looking sharp while feeling cool and comfortable is amazing. And I'm so excited that the Van Heusen company is involved in this new technology and is embracing the whole idea of dressing up. Let's not forget, Van Heusen made its name with dress shirts. It's only proper that the suit business follows strongly in its wake. You can find Van Heusen Cool Flex men's stretch suits at JCPenney or online at jcpenney.com. Guys, they're great. You should go look at them.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Tonight, we're talking big-time retailer. In fact, we're talking with the most famous retailer in the world. Anywhere you go in the world, they know Macy's. I'm with my guest, Chairman and CEO of Macy's, Jeff Gennette. Jeff, the magic of Macy's. What does that mean?
You know, when we think about Macy's and we think about kind of our competitive moat, no, we think about Macy's as store for life. And this opportunity that we have with our customers of being along with them through every one of their life stages. And when you look at our most potent customers, they've been with us for years. And they shop with us across a lot of categories. And, you know, when they're coming in, and generally where the brand does best is when they come in for special occasion. So first job interview, or, you know, what they're doing for prom or marriage or, you know, wedding or anniversaries. That's when certainly all of the holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, that's where our business spikes. So when you're able to convert with great products and services with customers that are coming in during those special times of their life, that's the magic of Macy's. How you make these customers happy when it counts.
Astonish the customer.
Astonish the customer.
Value. You guys are very much involved in making sure the customer gets a fair deal. You talk about that when you're in your business meetings?
You know, we always do. You know, we are a promotional department store. Our customers love value. They love promotion. And we're never going to stray from that. And we are always working on how you make it clearer and cleaner to her. But she loves promotion. She loves, and the loyalty program is based on it. She loves things at discount. At the end of the day, she likes great brands at great values, and because of our buying power, we're generally able to deliver that to her on every occasion.
Don't forget the guys. We like deals too, you know.
I know you do.
Macy's Backstage. Talk yes. about that a little bit. Seems very clever to me, doing it in your own house.
You know, for us, it was an interesting, and this was, we had a lot of naysayers on this, I'll be honest. So we started doing this about 3.5 years ago. Again, we always look at the customer data first. And the customers, when you looked at our core customer, two-thirds of them were leaving Macy's and they were going to one of our off-price competitors to do some of their shopping. And so we started with this whole adage about, could we be the only off-price on-mall retailer in America? And what would happen? And you had a lot of the naysayers, ourselves included, you know, we were being self-critical about this. Would it cannibalize the core business? Would it lift the productivity of a building, but would it ultimately damage the long-term shopping journey of a customer? And we didn't think it would, but we wanted to make sure. So we started, as we always do, we test, we iterate, and then we scale. And in this case...
You say that again for our audience, it's something for them to learn.
So we test because, you know, you think about some of our competitors, well, they'll go big with something and they'll end up firing customers or they'll go down roads where they've already committed.
The stakes are so high.
The stakes are high. So we always test. And we test in all parts of the country. We always get data points. We always measure that versus, you know, control sets. And so you get initial reads and the customer will always tell you. So you have qualitative and quantitative data on that. Then we iterate, we make all the changes, we test again, and then we start to scale. Once you get the right formula, then we scale.
By scale, you mean rolling it out
chain. Right? We roll it out in a line. We roll it out into different types of stores, and we've got a lot of stores in our portfolio. And in Backstage, what we found was that we found the right mix. You know, we have a lot of the categories that are in Backstage are not in the balance of the building, and those where you have common categories, it's always different labels or different vendors. We found what the right price point differences need to be. So what does your out-the-door retail need to be in Backstage versus the full price side of the store? And we found the right formula. And so we are now in the scaling mode of that. So we now have it in almost 200 of our Macy's doors, and it could be in all Macy's doors.
How many, by the way?
You know, full line, we've got about 650, and then we've got 40 Bloomingdale's, and then we've got about 170 Bluemercury's, and then we've got a bunch of furniture stores.
I don't know that the audience knew you own Bluemercury.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, for us to be relevant in the beauty category, we needed, you know, inspiration, and boy, we get it from Bluemercury each and every day.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I'll ask, do you envision bringing Bluemercury into Macy's?
Well, it's currently in 20 of our stores.
There you go.
So it's like the idea about, I think what we're finding with anything in retail is, you know, when a brand is good, it's great off-mall, it's great in-mall. So this idea about having Bluemercury be in this fleet of freestanding only helps amplify the awareness of it. So when the customer sees it in our store, she knows it. She's already shopping it. Same thing with Backstage. Backstage, we have six stores that are freestanding. We're building out the infrastructure within Macy's. But the goal in the future would be, could you put more freestanding Backstage out there?
You know what I also find fascinating about the store? We were talking value now for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yet we can find Louis Vuitton in so many Macy's.
Yes.
How do they do?
They do great. You know, we have LV in two of our stores. So we have it on Roosevelt Field, and then we have it in Herald Square. You know, that's based on their distribution strategy of what they do. And I will tell you that you know this about Macy's. I mean, Macy's is where America shops. And when you look at our retail, you know, we are double all the national competitors that are below us on a national scale, and we're half those that are above us. But we have customers that flex up or flex down. And so we have this opportunity with the menu of brands that we carry to really take care of her. So I have stores that absolutely can sell LV products. We do as much business in Herald Square and LV as they do outside of their own flagship. So it's a potent business. You know,
we
see it in Bloomingdale's because I have LV in a number of my Bloomingdale's stores. It's a different profile. I get more Asian tourists in Herald Square. Bloomingdale's gets more European tourists that are buying the brand. But the out-the-door retail is about the same. The scale of it and dollars per square feet are about the same. We can sell best products. It depends on what the store is.
Once again, this is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion, and I'm talking with Jeff Gannett, the chairman and CEO of Macy's. Talking about the magic of Macy's, Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's bigger than life.
It is.
What does that mean to you guys?
You know, it's probably one of our proudest, you know, days, absolutely. And I think what people don't know about the parade is that we create every bit of it. You know, we create the floats, we create the balloons. You know, we talk about test, iterate, scale. We have a football field that we use in South Dakota when we create the balloons to see what they look like at 60 feet. And, you know, we go and recruit all of the high school and college marching bands. The entire company is involved with the Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's totally fortified by all of our employee and our colleague and their family volunteers that fly the balloons that are on the floats. And so it's a very proud day for us. And it's a 365-day enterprise. The second we finish one Thanksgiving Day parade, we are planning for the next one.
The volunteers, I was in New York during the Thanksgiving Day parade. Thousands and thousands of volunteers.
Yeah.
All the people in the hotels, yes. All the people in the restaurants. Great for the city.
It's great for the city. And look, it's one of the few television events that's actually building viewership over the years. I mean, you think about live television, think about what's going on with the Oscars and the Grammys. I mean, it's just, it's decline, decline, decline. Thanksgiving Day Parade is growing, growing, growing.
And you have people at home wanting to watch television.
You do.
And you're doing such a nice thing. It goes from kids all the way up to adults.
It does.
It's amazing. Can I be on a float?
No. No, you can't. We do kind of limit it to our employees, and we call them our colleagues and their kids. And you've got to be.
I'll work at minimum wage just to be on the float.
If Diana Ross wants you as a backup, I can get you on the float.
How about an always in fashion balloon?
Yeah, that's a possibility. It might cost you something.
Listen, the July 4th fireworks, you want to talk about an event that's bigger than life, that captures the heart of not only the city, but anyone watching TV.
Yeah.
I was driving into the city that night. I go over the 59th Street Bridge. The 59th Street Bridge has three lanes. Two of the lanes were stopped completely.
Yeah.
Where everyone on there, the bridge, the full span of the bridge got out to watch the fireworks. And this was only over the East River. This is an amazing event.
I think one of the things I love about the July 4th fireworks is that Macy's is an American brand. And it's the quintessential holiday. It's a proud moment for us to be able to sponsor the national fireworks. And it just keeps getting better. The viewership is up on this thing. You know, we play with exactly what the themes are going to be. We play with talent. And it's a great viewing experience
for
the people of New York.
It makes you the most famous retailer in the world. It's so extraordinary. While we're on the magic of Macy's, I mentioned that R.H. Macy, when he was a young man, went on a whaling ship and he got a tattoo.
Right.
Well, you know what the tattoo was?
I did, of course.
Of course. The
star. It was right here in the crotch of his index and his thumb. And it was, he was on the Emily Morgan was his ship. And when he was a mariner and it got, you know, foggy or whatever it was, he absolutely navigated by the North Star. So the star on his hand represents the North Star.
And that's the Macy's star.
That's the Macy's star. And that's our North Star strategy. It's really cuts the lore of the company and our founder is alive and well in everything.
So where is the Red Star collection for Macy's?
It's a good question. We have tried different private labels and we have many of them. I'm not opposed to it. It's an interesting idea.
Well, if you need someone as a consultant to come in, if nothing else to get myself on a float, I'm more than willing to help you envision
it. Right,
I think Red Star would be an amazing brand. Instantly, I think it would be great in jeans and young men's clothes, even women's. Really, it's got this thing and embroidered on the pant pocket or on the shirts. I think it's a great thing, and it's such a symbolic thing for Macy's.
It's an interesting
idea.
It's
perfect. Thank you. I have another one for you.
Go.
While I'm on this magic of Macy's. Working with LV, Avenue Montaigne, I spent a lot of time in France. You come out of the building, make a right turn on the corner of Avenue Montaigne and something. There's a restaurant called La Avenue.
Okay.
Ever eat there?
No.
It's extraordinary, particularly in the warm weather, because it's an indoor-outdoor restaurant. And if you want to be seen in the world of fashion in Paris or luxury, everyone dines there. Now, because I was part of the group and the restaurant's down the street, I would go there with my sons, my wife, whenever we go, get a great table, and the atmosphere of the place was extraordinary. And I loved it. It's one of my favorite sites in the world. I recommend it to you. And if you go, talk to the LV people before you go, and they'll make sure you have a nice table.
I will do that.
But Saks Fifth Avenue just opened L'Avenue in their store. Separate entrance. I went there two weeks ago. It doesn't have the same cachet because it's not outdoors. But they did a great job, and they did the exact same menu that's in France. Mm. And I really applauded the effort, and it's something you should think about. But that's not why I'm offering you this suggestion. I have another idea.
Go.
When I'm not living the luxury lifestyle, when I'm with my family and we're just kicking our shoes off and going out to eat casually, Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
You should put the only Cheesecake Factory in New York City in your 34th Street store.
You know,
haven't given any thought to that one.
Have you been to our Union Square store? Our Union Square store in San Francisco has a Cheesecake Factory.
Does it? Now, tell me, how does it do?
It does great. It's actually the top performing restaurant in the city of San Francisco. And we have a dedicated elevator. It's on the 6th floor. And it has about 20,000 square feet. It's great.
I'm not so crazy. I was afraid to even say this to you.
You're not crazy.
34th Street, got a big store.
Yeah.
So that's my idea for today. Let's take a break. This is Mark Weber with Jeff Gannett, the chairman and CEO of Macy's. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
As one of the world's most celebrated fashion designers, Karl Lagerfeld was renowned for his aspirational and cutting-edge approach to style. His unique vision of Parisian chic comes to America through Karl Lagerfeld Paris. He has women's collections, men's collections, ready-to-wear accessories, shoes, and bags. The fashion house Karl Lagerfeld also offers a range of watches, eyewear, and premium fragrances. You can explore the Karl Lagerfeld collection at karllagerfeldparis.com. But it's more than that. I, for one, love to shop. I love going around and seeing what's happening and what catches my attention, what would make me feel good to wear. Now, I don't wear the women's wear, obviously, but I can appreciate it, and they look amazing. If you want to look right, you want to have clothes that fit you well, you want to look like you're wearing something that's very expensive, that's exclusive for you and yours, you can find it at very affordable prices at Macy's or KarlLagerfeld.com Paris. The women's ready-to-wear fashion is extraordinary, as well as the handbags and the shoes. I, for one, wear men's clothes, unlike my appreciation of women's clothes. I'm a modern guy. I want to look current. I want to look the way I want to feel. I go out at night, I'm in black, and Karl Lagerfeld is my buddy. Clothes are great. They fit great. And they have little tweaks and touches, whether it's a stripe on the sleeve or button at the neck or on the shoulder. There's a lot of details that go into Karl Lagerfeld. Because he always had been one of the world's great designers, and this legacy and goes on and on. I can't speak enough about it except to say to you, you want to feel good about yourself, you want to know that you're dressing properly, you want clothes that fit you well, Karl Lagerfeld Paris at Macy's or karllagerfeld.com.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And tonight I'm with Macy's chairman and CEO, Jeff Gannett. How do you set your priorities? You got so much to do. How do you set them?
We always ground our priorities in the customer, and that guides us. So, and make as few of them as possible, and make sure that you're really articulate about every colleague's role in that strategy.
How hard is it to get on your calendar? I would think nearly impossible.
It's not easy. But you always get on it. And what I would say is where I do most of my correspondence was with people on phone calls or on email. So I answer all my own email and I respond really quickly. So there's never an issue with people thinking that they don't have access to me. But if you want to have a physical meeting with me or a lunch or a meal or whatever, it takes longer.
And just jumping around now, because I want to cover a bunch of different subjects, you'll bear with me. Do you have a favorite brand that you don't have in the store that you'd like to have in your store?
If you're talking about the Macy's brand, there's a number of brands that are at Bloomingdale's right now that we would love to get into Macy's, and we're working hard at it. You know, what we find is that the better we get, the better we do with those brands that they see of their ilk, and we treat them well, and they see how they're performing, and they talk to those brands, and they give them a positive story. That gives us all the opportunities to get new brands into the building. So we're now acquiring new brands coming in. So I look at Bloomingdale's a lot. Bloomingdale's helps us understand where the consumer is going, particularly in contemporary. And when things are getting to scale at Bloomingdale's, it's about ready for the handoff going over to Macy's. And so we look at that customer data all the time to understand where we want to get brands that we don't have.
You being such a large retailer,
yeah,
you need suppliers who are large and could deliver to
yes.
you. How important is that?
If you didn't have new economic models, so if we were just an owned model and it was you just dealing strictly with wholesale, you have to be big. Or we do big well on our wholesale model. Now that we've got lease models or hybrid models, you can do things in certain stores in which the vendor owns the goods, but we operate it. They own and operate the goods. And that is giving us more flexibility with some of these smaller vendors that we can bring into just certain stores.
It also makes them responsible to deliver the right product that they want to be there.
It does. And so we
accountability is a very powerful tool.
It is. And you just got, because our customers are so different. You know, our customers in Florida are very different from ours in Seattle. And so you got to have a broad enough menu for each of our individual stores. And then the internet has got to be broad enough to be able to keep all of them. So we have, that's how we're looking at expanding our actual menu with customers and how we're going to satisfy that with new content.
Quick story on the internet and Macy's. I was shopping for dishes. What do they call them?
Yep.
What's a fancy name for dishes?
Yeah, that's a
tabletop or
tabletop.
Something?
Tabletop. Top of
Sorry.
Table, we call
this
it.
This is Mark Weber learning about tabletop. I needed them.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, we had bought a house. We need a tabletop. And I looked everywhere, and I went into Macy's. I went down. Is it downstairs?
It's actually up now.
Upstairs in 34th Street. You had the nicest sales associate that came over to me and said, how can I help you? And she took me around, showed me all the choices. Then I took my phone out. My wife met her on the phone. She explained to me why I wanted Martha Stewart,
okay,
why it should be. After about a half hour, it was extraordinary service. I went home. My wife and I talked about it. We decided to go by on the weekend. We live in Long Island. We went to Roosevelt Field. Get into Roosevelt Field. An equally charming young lady took us through the assortment. And what was fascinating, you had exactly what I saw in 34th Street. But because we wanted a table setting for 16, you didn't have all the pieces mm-hmm. that we needed.
Right.
So she said, fear not. Macy's is coordinated now. We can get them from any store we need them and deliver to your house within 5 days. This is what we do now. So I said, you sure, hey, I'm going to trust you. You're so nice to us. I have no choice. And sure enough, I ordered a table setting for 16. By the end of the week, I got the entire set of 16 delivered to my house, picture perfect, with a note in every box, not a chip to anything, perfect condition. And it said where it came from, different locations within your group.
Right.
That's an amazing story to me.
Yeah.
So tell me, is that the norm for you guys?
Yeah. So you think about it, if we had had all 16 place settings in Roosevelt Field or Paramus or fill in the blank, every single store, you can imagine how much inventory that would take. And so using the entire network to be able to satisfy customer demand is where every omnichannel retailer is going. So that should be exactly the experience that you have as a customer. And that you can go into a store like Herald Square, they're going to have deep stock. But in a store like Roosevelt Field, it may just be a floor sample. And that floor sample to be able to satisfy from different warehouses or from stores that have too much stock on it is exactly the way we should be doing it. Sometimes, you know, we do this really well. Sometimes we don't. And, you know, we're always learning from how best to be an omnichannel customer. And that's how you win in retail today.
Do you have a point of view or do you announce how large you think the e-commerce business should be to your brick-and-mortar business?
We don't announce it, Mark, because it is fully integrated. And so rarely do we have a customer that just shops in one channel. When you are a Macy's customer, you're shopping in multi-stores and you're shopping online as well. And so where do you stop? You have most customers now that are browsing the brand, not by walking a store, but by going right to the mobile. They're going to our app, or they're going to the mobile-enabled web, or they're going to their desktop. And you've got people that are going to the store, they're touching the product, but then they're like ordering it when they're watching TV that night. So who should get the sale on that thing? And so the whole thing is so interconnected that we want to make sure that, and ultimately that we're satisfying the customer. So we don't break out the sales between what's digital, because it's very blurry.
All right, I want to swing it to some personal stuff. We talk business.
Okay,
right?
Go.
Let's see if we could do this. What is it that you're personally most excited about these days?
You mean like in the business or?
Life.
In life, you know. Seeing that my daughter makes it through college is a big pursuit of mine right now. So she's a freshman right now in college. And is debating whether or not the school that she's going to is the right school for her. So she's got all these transfers out. So she got one transfer back where she was accepted into the transfer school. Three more pending. So that's on my mind.
What does she want to be when she grows up?
She, you know, it's interesting. She's now thinking about fine arts. So, you know, I think she's recognized that an English major can go to where I've gone. So why can't somebody who specializes in fine arts and sculpture and mixed medium, she could do anything that she wants with it. So she's given herself permission for that and is now like
it's
putting it out
so
there.
So interesting that you say this. I have two sons that are lawyers.
Yes.
All at college, all at law school. And I'm telling you, my liberal arts education is far superior to all those schools. Every time we get into it, I'm talking about things 50 years ago that they should have known. Simple things, and I seem to know more. So you'll be surprised. I agree with you 1,000%. Those educations are great. Fashion again. I search in fashion for those things I could wear forever. You have a piece that you stayed with you forever? You have a favorite item?
You know, jeans. There's many jeans in which I've had forever. And but nothing, you know, I go through suits all the time. And there is I'm not passionate about a suit, but jeans, some sneakers, passionate.
And suits, do you go beyond navy and gray?
Oh, yeah.
Like to what?
Like all
I'm
my
only
sport
navy
coats.
And gray.
I do browns. I do olives. I do a lot of blacks. So I've got a pretty extensive suit wardrobe.
All right, let's jump around again. I'm having fun. You mentioned electronics in your store. Are you an iPhone guy?
I am.
You do have Apple in your store now.
We do.
And I'm glad to see it, but I'm going to give you a hard time.
Go.
You don't have that assortment that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because of the economics or what?
Part of it is their distribution. So, like, as an example, we've got the Apple Experience in Herald Square. That's the only store where we have it. And it's actually the best performing Apple store outside of their own fleet in the world. That's how much volume Herald Square does.
Amazing.
We have these other, like, mini experiences in a number of our stores, but it's like seven. And the balance of the stores have the Apple Watch. That's what we're working on together. And, you know, for us, it is, Apple is such a considered purchase. We need to have it for our customers. And so I'm trying to get it and get the right strategy and develop it to put into more stores. And so we're working on that right now with the Apple management.
Yeah. And, you know, the great thing about Apple, because they have their own stores, there's always a place to bring it if it's not working. I'm not going to bother you with that.
Right.
Right?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I think one of the advantages that the Apple management sees about Macy's is because we really do have the female consumer. And so oftentimes you have a female consumer that has a busted iPhone. Where does she go? And when you think about all the Apple service that's around, think about it, just pull it up in the city here. It's like some back alley. You've got some guy, you know, that is, that a woman may not feel comfortable in going to. So dropping it off at Macy's and us being a conduit to be able to get the repair and get it back to the customer is highly attractive to Apple management.
So I'm voting for seeing more of it with you guys.
You got it.
I'm a Macy's fan. Do you like to travel?
I do.
Yeah? Favorite place?
You know, what we've done through the course of my daughter's life is we always do some sort of major trip every year. And so love all of the capitals you would expect. I would tell you that Barcelona, a very happy place. London, love London. I went to school in London, so I know it well and always go back to London. Amsterdam, Tokyo, like Shanghai a lot. Have not been to Africa, and I have not been to South America. So those are on my bucket list of getting there. I'm a scuba diver, so going to, you know, lots of those places. Have always done those. But we travel all the time.
If you were to disappear and we were trying to find you, where would you be?
Disappear somewhere. Well, let me tell you what I enjoy doing. I'm a movie guy, so I'm always watching something, some power show, some movie. So when I'm not working, that would be a place you might find me.
I have one more question for you before I have a secret question. Is there a best perk about being CEO with all the pressure, all the responsibilities? Is there a great perk in it anywhere?
You know, it's interesting. I've got my two sisters-in-law coming into town tonight. And, you know, I want to make them a weekend for them that's very special. So I can get that done. You know, that's being the advantage of being, you know, at Macy's, is that you can get them into Saturday Night Live and we can go to live at Seth Meyers. I can get the reservation in this hotel or that.
Hey, my sons are here. Are you listening to this?
So that's
now we know who to call.
That's a perk.
I'll do the Red Star business for you for free to get some of these introductions. Listen, before we leave, the most important question that I have to ask you is, everyone's predicting doom and gloom for brick and mortar retail. What's your position on this?
You know, everybody talks about the retail apocalypse, and I think it was overblown, and I don't think it's true at all. I mean, I think our business is about constant renewal, because the American consumer is a consumer, and she and he are always looking for what's new and what's next. And as much as we want to talk about the speed and the growth of the internet, still most of American retail is being consumed in brick and mortar. And so you cannot be lazy about what brick and mortar is today. It can't be just a place of transaction. So if you can't get elements of Macy's Herald Square in every one of your fleet, then you don't have the right vision. Brick and mortar, the future of it is about how you're going to get more experience in there and how you're going to continue to curate your content down to what is right for the customer who's going to walk into those doors. And as long as we are focused on the customer and doing what's right by her, brick and mortar has a rich and long life ahead of it.
That? I thank my guest, the chairman and CEO of Macy's. I would tell you, whatever happens with retail, my bet's on you guys. You'll be the last man standing.
I appreciate it.
Jeff, you're great, and thank you for coming.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here. Well done.
Always in fashion.
Spent a lifetime of my career building the Van Heusen brand, and I am so pleased that they're back with us now, talking about suits. Men, we're dressing up again. And it's become cool to wear a suit. Suits can be worn on multiple occasions in multiple ways. You could wear a suit formally to go out at night or to an event. You could wear a suit to the office with or without a tie. If you look closely now, fashion trends. Suits are being worn with turtlenecks or mock necks. The choices are endless, and every one of them looks right. You can really, really look the part. I believe that packaging yourself is as important as the products you package. And wearing a suit is one of those things that make men look their best. Van Heusen invented a new idea. It's called the Cool Flex Suit. It's been engineered with stretch technology, giving you the most comfortable fit and mobility. It's wrinkle-resistant fabric. It's cool, moisture-wicking. It makes it perfect for all occasions, as we discussed just now. This new style of looking sharp while feeling cool and comfortable is amazing. And I'm so excited that the Van Heusen Company is involved in this new technology and is embracing the whole idea of dressing up. Let's not forget, Van Heusen made its name with dress shirts. It's only proper that the suit business follows strongly in its wake. You can find Van Heusen Cool Flex men's stretch suits at JCPenney or online at jcpenney.com. Guys, they're great. You should go look at them. I've been shopping for fun lately. And while I'm out, I always look at men's and I look at women's, what's going on. And I was particularly interested in DKNY because of their sponsorship of the show. I went downstairs at Macy's, 34th Street, to look around, and I saw DKNY activewear. And I promise you, ladies, it is sensational. From the sports bras to the crop tops to the leggings and the sweats. It really is a great look. And DKNY had begun as an all-American brand. Dressing, casual clothes, and jeans. And the stuff looks incredible. And right now, the colors and the styles is so exciting that I feel great about the company. I always do. I wear the menswear all the time. I've had situations where I've gone to big events and been interviewed on TV or the radio, and someone comes up to me with the microphone, and like they always do, who are you wearing? And here I am, this big shot with big company, and they say, well, I'm wearing a DKNY. And they laugh and say, no, you're not. I actually have one on the internet where you could see me. They ask me what suit I'm wearing, and I say DKNY, and open it up, and there's the DKNY label. Great fashion. It fits well. It looks right. It's designed to make you comfortable in the city. It goes from day into night. You can wear it in the morning. You wear it in the afternoon, and you look cool at night as well. It's great for the office. It's great for leisure. But I was talking about the DKNY activewear. First time I really became aware of it, Jesse and I were up at Sirius Radio. He was doing a job for Sirius. He does a Dan Abrams show. He fills in on the POTUS network. And we were in the lobby, and this hip-hop group came up with this really great-looking Latino singer. Girl, young, beautiful, and she was wearing a DKNY sports bra. And I said to myself, this is amazing. I actually went to Macy's to see it. And I'm excited about the brand. And I tell you what, ladies, DKNY always has great fashion for work. Always wonderful dresses and things that you'd wear. Their accessories are great. The shoes are always very cool. But activewear in particular right now looks sensational. And being that everyone's athleisure and activewear, it's a great time. DKNY, go take a look.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
You've been listening to an extraordinary guy talk about an extraordinary retail store. You know, the interesting thing about that interview for me, Jesse, I'm here with Jesse Weber, my co-host, who's always at Macy's spending all the money.
It's a great store. And now that you mention maybe having a Cheesecake Factory in the store, I mean, why? Where else do I need to go?
I surprised you with that one, right?
If you put a Cheesecake Factory in Macy's, I might as well just live there.
I didn't see his face. How did he react to the idea of Cheesecake?
Well, he said that there was a Cheesecake Factory in another store. And I think for a second, he's like, oh, that seems like a pretty good idea.
Let me tell you something. The nice thing about this interview for me is I know Jeff. I know how smart he is. I know how capable he is. And at the same time, I am such an extraordinary Macy's fan. And it's certainly, I'll fill in with this, it's certainly easier talking to him than have to sell him, because those guys are the toughest negotiators. Not out of being stubborn. They want to provide the best deals, the best value for their customers. So when you're selling them, it's impossible, but I respect them.
What I liked about the interview and the interviews you've done is you can relate to them because you're in the same industry. Someone said it's peer-to-peer. It's different than any other kind of interview. You know what the questions to ask. You know you relate to the same thing. You guys were talking about doing business together. You have a relationship. That's what I liked.
Of all the retailers I do business with, this is one of the largest, for sure, if not the largest. And because they have, I'm not making this stuff up, they have a very strong group of people. So they are very opinionated. They know what will work. They know what won't work. And therefore, they make you on your game. And for a show that we talk about careers and success, maybe that's the takeaway tonight. That no matter what, You have to be responsible for yourself. You have to realize that you're dealing with professionals, and you have to realize that you're talking to people who know what they're doing. And that makes it harder on you to be on your game. And all I would say at the end, I'm proud of having the association with Macy's tonight. And the idea that I need to get through to everyone in closing, success is always in fashion. Good night.